Pro Group Management. Workers' comp that works for you.
Welcome to Nevada Newsmakers. On the broadcast today, Jill Derby joins us. She's trustee for the American University of Iraq in Kurdistan, and she's here for the whole show on an all-new Nevada Newsmakers.
Pro Group Management offers workers' comp services to a growing number of industries. As businesses grow and change with the times, the need for a solid workers' comp program must be flexible and up-to-date. The evolving nature of regulations can make staying ahead of complex tasks challenging. But Pro Group Management simplifies the work so your industry can move forward and succeed. Pro Group Management. Workers' comp that works for you.
Like a traditional handmade basket, retail is woven into the fabric of life in Nevada. From big box to mom and pop, retail supports our communities in countless ways. Jobs for the disabled, team uniforms for kids, help for the elderly, and so much more. Retail employs over 1 in 10 workers. Retail supports Nevada, and we support retail.
RANNV.org.
As you know, Reno is booming. Toll's development company is helping it grow with insightful design and development, building community with every project, adding beauty, adding excitement, emphasizing our shared humanity. Reno is becoming bigger. Toll's development is helping it become better, more livable, more enjoyable. To learn more, go to tollsdevelopment.com. tollsdevelopment.com.
This is Nevada Newsmakers with host Sam Chan on No Holds Barred Political Forum. Now, from the Nevada Newsmakers broadcast headquarters, here is Sam Chan.
And back on Nevada Newsmakers, we're always pleased to welcome back to the program Jill Derby. You've been coming on here for a very long time.
Yes, for a very long time. Absolutely.
From the beginnings of our show. And you're a trustee now of the American University of Iraq in Kurdistan.
That's right.
You were the chair. Yes. When was the last time you were there?
Well, actually, just a couple of weeks ago, but I wasn't in Kurdistan. I was in Abu Dhabi,
right,
which is in the UAE and near Dubai. Most people know of Dubai. And it was just a fun trip because my son's there, the president of a new college that the president, Mohammed bin Zayed, commissioned. And he's been there a year and we were visiting him.
What do you think about the idea of gaming coming to UAE? You know, Wynn Resorts is building this huge $5.1 billion casino complex there.
One of the things that impressed me so much about the UAE, we were there for their national celebration day, or their 4th of July. 54 years, that's all they've been a country. And in 54 years, the amount of development that's there, I mean, everything works, beautiful buildings, nothing is broken down. And one of the things that impresses me most is the philosophy of the rulers, the president of the UAE, Mohammed bin Zayed. And he's very committed to the value, to very good values for his people. That's one of the reasons they're building this new college. Wants to retain some of their culture, worried about all these kids that are very wealthy now. It's a very wealthy country. And he doesn't want to see them just become idle rich people in Ferraris. But he's very committed that they do a year of national service. Everybody's being educated, women being educated. But just good values of harmony, bringing people together, trying to bring different identities together across the world, committed to peace and being a peacemaker. Very, very impressed with the values that are coming out of that, the leadership in the UAE.
You spent a time living in Saudi Arabia, correct?
Yes.
How old were you when you lived there?
Oh, I was in my 20s. And it was a time where it was very easy to be an American woman, a Western woman in Saudi Arabia.
Really?
Particularly because it was the American oil company that I was working for.
Oh.
And the restrictions weren't there in terms of covering. We were, of course, advised to dress very modestly, you know, pants or longer skirts and, you know, that was all, but it was easy to get around and easy to be normally dressed and so forth. It was later when the Saudi government bought the Aramco, the American oil company, that they could impose their standards. And from that time on, women have had to be covered. And in a hot climate like that, and having to be entirely covered can be onerous.
To say the least. Have you been surprised at the changes in Saudi Arabia and the Middle East in general over the last decade?
Well, absolutely. I mean, Saudi Arabia, for you know, is the great example, very conservative Muslim country. And that's why women were covered. I mean, I traveled widely in the Middle East in those years, and women weren't covered so much in Egypt and Jordan and other places. But Saudi Arabia, very, very conservative. But, you know, with the new prince, who brought more modern ideas, you know, women are in the workplace now. That was unheard of when I was there. And women
driving.
Even drive. Yes, imagine that. I drove when I was there, but I put on a keffiyeh, you know, the Arab headdress, to drive across the desert up to Kuwait so I would look like a man. Because women weren't allowed to drive when I was there, even American women.
What would have happened to you if you had been caught?
Well, I don't think very much. I think the company, Aramco, would have weighed in rather quickly. I mean, there were restrictions. The serious restrictions were on alcohol. And people made their own, you know, where we were in Dahran with all the Americans running the oil company. But you weren't allowed to take it off that compound. And if you were caught with it, they would fly you out of the kingdom right away.
And now,
that would have been serious.
Now in Saudi Arabia, they have a couple of places where diplomats. And the very rich can go and buy alcohol.
Yeah.
And they say the line is out the door.
Yeah.
And, you know, they look at the potential in the not too distant future of alcohol being freely available.
Yeah.
In much of Saudi Arabia.
Yeah. I mean, they're really getting into sort of the global marketplace in a big way, in a way they weren't and could afford to be more isolated because of their oil. But they're looking now at a future where oil may not be the main game, and you got to be part of the modern world. And certainly, you see that over in the UAE, in Dubai, Abu Dhabi, and those seven countries that are part of the UAE. They're very forward-looking, they're modernizing, and they're making very big efforts to be integrated into the global world, even though they have great wealth. And you see it everywhere. I mean, in just the everything, beautiful landscaping all the way across the desert, you know, with medians that are planted with beautiful trees and so on and so forth. But everything's in great repair and worked so well, it was fun to be there.
Diplomatically,
yeah.
The UAE has become a major player with contacts both with the West and the Middle East. How do you view that?
I think that's a very good thing. In fact, I'm optimistic about the Middle East, and except, you know, there's a lot of bad stuff going on. But the truth is, what you now have is a pretty united front from all the Arab countries. You know, Qatar's always been in the conversation, but the UAE has kind of stayed out.
By the way, and it's also the largest military base.
Yes,
in the Middle East,
yes,
for the United
yeah,
States.
In Qatar, absolutely. They've always played a mediation role because they talk to all sides. That's been their way of doing business. But the UAE has been much more kind of staying out of the fray. But everybody's gotten into it, and particularly after what's happened the last 2 years of war, the devastation of Gaza, the ethnic cleansing of Gaza from their perspective and the perspective of so much of the world. You know, Israel has suffered reputationally very badly out of all this. It's really pulled them together so that they're a united front, that there must be a pathway to a Palestinian state. You know, Sam, that in the United Nations, 80% of the countries recognize a Palestinian state. And more recently, England, France, some of the European countries did as well. I think there are 157 countries now that recognize a Palestinian state, and they also have a seat at the United Nations. So I just see that in that is the only pathway to peace in that part of the Middle East. And there's a pretty much united front among the Arab nations that must be part of the peace negotiations.
But that has been talked about since
1948. And there has been violence and war since 1948.
Well, and even prior to that.
And it's all part of the Palestinian,
And since the Balfour Declaration. I mean, this really goes back to the early part of the 1900s.
And the British role in it. And then the UN in 47 declaring a Palestinian, declaring an Israeli state, but saying these are the lands of the Palestinians and they must be protected. And they haven't been. And Israel has taken more and more and more out of military means. And it's never going to be settled until there's some resolution that the Palestinian people have their own land. And it's very complicated. But you can't expect the people to live under military occupation and be happy about it when they feel their lands have been stolen.
Well, it goes both ways. Let's face it, over the last 3,000 years, everybody has claims to everything. And we could spend five shows talking about that.
But Sam, you could say that, then the Native Americans claiming back America and Rome claiming England, I guess.
Well, no, I'm not disagreeing, but I mean, you know, for people who are listening, you know, this is such a sore topic.
Sure it is.
And people on both sides have very strong views, and so I don't want to put down or raise up either side. I mean, Saudi Arabia, for example, you know, has talked about a two-state solution forever. But the reality is that they've been working covertly with Israel for many, many years on security and other issues. And their bigger concern is not the Palestinian people, but it's Iran. And that's what has shaped so much of what's going on in the Middle East, is that everybody is concerned about Iran and the United States and all of these Arab countries, whether privately or publicly. That's the battle. And the Palestinians have been a pawn in this game, but, you know, obviously they have not been helped by some of the organizations
that have created
the problems.
I wouldn't argue with any of that, but Iran has now been defanged, really.
We hope.
Well, we went in and bombed it as well as Israel and so on and so forth. And it's they're struggling, you know, that it clearly a big setback for them, clearly a big setback for their for Hezbollah and other agents that they supported. They're not doing that anymore. They can't afford to do that. That has changed the equation. But also, I just think that all these years, there has always been this conflict. As regards the Palestinian, underlying it is the fact that their land has been taken and they want it back and they want their own, they want self-rule like any people do. Anyway.
Sadly, the spoils of war are, you know, before the ceasefire is declared, that everybody goes for the maximum land grab. And that's been the way of history, period. And when you look at the Ukraine-Russia situation, how much land can we hang on to? How much land do we have to give up to be able to get to a peace settlement?
But Sam, we have had up until this current administration a global order that had certain norms to it that you can't, and it's embedded in documents of the United Nations, the World Court, et cetera, that everybody signed off on after World War II, and that you can't acquire land through military means. It's just written there. You can't do it.
But that's the reality.
Yeah, but now, well, it doesn't need to be the reality. And other times Israel tried to take the Sinai and had to give it up.
No, they gave it back because they didn't want it. I mean, they did.
They were forced to give it back. You go back to that negotiation.
I would
Our
quibble with you.
Our federal government
that.
Got right in the middle of that and said, no, you can't. Anyway, no. And it's the same. That's what's going on with Ukraine.
Okay, but why did Israel hold the Sinai? They did a pincer move to go across the Suez to be able to stop the Egyptians from taking Israel. And they did an unbelievable military move. There was no reason for them to hold on to the Sinai Desert after that.
Sam, the reason that Israel has such a strong military is because we funded it all along.
Well,
and of course they have that.
And
but
there's no argument there.
And the truth is that Britain and France were part of that too, you know, and they had to back off. That goes way back in history that most people today don't know about. But certainly over time, that has been a principle since World War II that has given some stability to the world. And I think it's a great worry to people today that, it seems that we're moving into a might makes right world. That is very concerning. It certainly will be the case if Russia ends up claiming huge chunks of Ukraine and Ukraine fails as a state as a result.
And you know, what we're seeing is, and you're a cultural anthropologist, a diaspora around the world where people are moving from places where they can no longer live, whether it's the middle, you know, to the Middle East, to Europe, from South and Central America to the United States. There is a giant movement, and the majority of it is because people don't have a possibility of hope for their lives where they are.
And it's climate change, and they're getting to be places, environments that are you can't live in anymore. And that's, I think, do you know that, 65% of Americans are suffering from anxiety? And it's because of what's going on in the world. And
well, it's
the
social
media. All of a sudden, all the rules are changing, and there are these factors that you can't control that are coming in to impact our world. I mean, the world I grew up in, you know, in the 60s and 70s was a much more peaceful and stable world, and we thought it'd be like that forever. Well, now, you know, all bets are off about where the future goes. AI is part of that, new might makes white.
I'm gonna take a break here, but we did have the Vietnam War in the whole middle of that time period that you were talking about. I mean, the world was not at peace in the 60s and 70s.
Well, there have always been local wars, right? But in terms of generally world wars, we haven't had any.
Well, and thank goodness for that. Let's take a break and we'll be right back after this.
Welcome to the Ahern Boutique Hotel, where luxury and warmth come together in the heart of Las Vegas.
We take pride in offering a one-of-a-kind experience for both locals and tourists.
Join us for handcrafted cocktails and an unforgettable experience.
Joel's Chop House, the perfect place to savor views of the Las Vegas Strip.
Satisfy your cravings at the Ahern Chocolate Shop.
No smoking, no resort fees, and the parking is always free. The Ahern Luxury Boutique Hotel is your home away from home.
Each day, the Children's Advocacy Alliance partners with leaders, legislators, and families across Nevada to improve children's health, education, economic well-being, and safety. We recognize Nevada will be no better than the state of its children. Be a part of this change. Be a supporter of the Children's Advocacy Alliance. For more information, go to caanv.org.
You're in trouble with the law. It's easy to think you'll lose everything, but there is hope. I'm Attorney Orrin Johnson. Your first step is to hire a serious attorney with the experience to successfully navigate the legal system for you.
Sometimes hope means addiction treatment instead of jail and making sure you're treated fairly.
Sometimes hope means fearless trial attorneys will stand up to the government when they get it wrong. Call or text Orrin Johnson Law.
We'll make a plan.
You'll take back your life.
It's the most wonderful time to win during the $125,000 holiday cash frenzy at Tamarack Casino. Every Saturday, unwrap thousands in cash and free play. Don't miss the grand finale December 27th. We're gifting $20,000 in cash guaranteed. Tis the season for good times at Tamarack Casino.
This is Nevada Newsmakers.
And back on Nevada Newsmakers, we continue our conversation with Jill Derby. She's a trustee of the American University of Iraq and Kurdistan. I just wanted to finish up with what we were talking about,
okay.
Which is a lot of the disruption that you're talking about comes from the fact that we have social media.
Yes.
And so this has been playing out incredibly. And the amount of false information on all sides is stunning. And people literally have no idea what is true and not true, what is real and unreal. And in terms of financial stability, what they can believe, the email that they get about their bank account, is totally fraudulent, and yet it looks exactly correct, and suddenly they find they have no money in their account.
Well, we're living in a dystopian reality that people like George Orwell and others wrote about the future, and we're in it. And I think that, you know, we're all looking for a hero somewhere. Can somebody do something? The fears about AI, the promises of AI versus the fears of AI. And no regulation on AI? Wait a minute. There's so much we don't know. And that's, people are very, you know this, Sam, you're out in the marketplace. People are worried. And there's just a great sense of uncertainty that is new to Americans. Over particularly, and social media drives a lot. We're not going to come back from this era. We're in it. And you know, some countries are really taking charge over social media and the youth. And a lot has been written about that by some of the great researchers in Harvard, whose funds have been cut, by the way, by this administration, who has a war going on against colleges and universities that I'm part of the resistance for. I need to throw that in.
Right. But well, let's AI, take a break and talk about that.
Okay.
The next segment will be all about that.
Okay.
We'll be right back.
A power line is more than a power line. It's maintaining the bottom line for small businesses. It's keeping the assembly line moving for our workforce. For our brightest minds, it's meeting a deadline. It's on the front line with our heroes. And on the sidelines of the biggest games, it's a direct line to our loved ones. And it's a lifeline for the most vulnerable. There's a lot on the line.
For 50 years, Nevada Heating has been keeping people comfortable in their home. At Nevada Heating, call the Do It Right guys and get the heat back on today. Call us today and we'll fix it today. That's the Nevada Heating way. Why freeze for days on end when Nevada Heating can get your furnace fixed today? Call us today and we'll fix it today at 323-5585 or schedule us on our website at nevadaheating.com.
The Nevada Builders Alliance has been protecting the interests of the construction industry for over 50 years. Our programs save members thousands of dollars every year and allow them to provide much-needed benefits to their employees. Our industry also allows Nevada to grow. If you're thinking about a career in the construction industry, reach out. And if you haven't thought of a career in construction, what are you waiting for? We are the Nevada Builders Alliance.
This is Nevada Newsmakers.
And back on Nevada Newsmakers, we continue our conversation with Jill Derby. She's a trustee of the American University of Iraq in Kurdistan and has been involved in Nevada politics and higher education forever.
Long time.
I'm giving you the floor and then I'll jump in.
Okay. Well, you know, I wrote an opinion piece for the Nevada Independent about what's going on. And I called it Trump's war against the universities. And this all has an political ideological underpinning that they want really to impose their own political ideology on our campuses, what to teach, who to teach, et cetera. And it is an anathema to American higher education, global dominance in the world, its greatness, what it's contributed in it, because, and I just have to throw this in, there's a reason that uniquely in America, we established a governance system for higher education, not the government running higher education, but citizen trustees, boards of citizen trustees. We call them regents in Nevada. And it was done a couple of centuries ago with a recognition that to keep the government out of our education system, because governments, the political winds change and they go this way from far right to far left to the middle to, you know that. That's sort of the whole history flow. But, you know, you can't have that in education. Our universities have been and needs to be a marketplace of ideas where diversity of thinking, where conflicting ideas, where creative ideas are welcome, and not that there are strict language restrictions. I just heard this morning that Russia's putting out a new dictionary about the language that people should use. If you control the language, you control the thought. Anthropologists can tell you that. And we can't, our universities were established to be places of innovation to free thinking that trains critical thinking, which a democracy depends on. And not if you have universities and colleges that can only use certain language and only teach certain subjects and teach them certain ways according to the ideology of the current government, you have indoctrination centers. You don't have universities.
Okay, but this comes back to what you were saying earlier about pretty much everything, which is the disruption of social media.
Yeah.
And not every idea that's put out there is an accurate idea.
Sure.
And it's being driven by lots of different forces. I would say one thing, which, you know, in looking at Ken Burns' series on the Constitution, that's
American Revolution.
Yes, it's amazing.
Excellent.
But we have been through so much in the past. We will go through so much in the future. And the pendulum swings. The pendulum was swinging, in some people's opinion, way too far in the other direction.
Sure.
Now it's swinging in another direction. And I think the end of this administration, things will begin to balance out, because I think the public is clamoring for something in the middle. And
Sam, the research establishment in America that has had global dominance will never recover. Do you know that 75% of scientists are looking at employment in Europe and Canada? France has actually established a support for science center,
right,
to draw American faculty. No, you don't rebuild a research enterprise that we've built over decades and decades and decades that has been responsible for most of American innovation.
But these are multinational corporations, and they will go where they can be most effective. And if there's a better profit center in the United States, they will return to the United States.
It has been government funding that has supported the research, right, enterprise in American universities.
There is three more years to go in this administration. There will be another administration to follow, and America will end up being just as successful as it has been.
Nobody in the university community, not all these scientists that are leaving, not all these researchers, believe that for a minute, Sam.
We will live long enough to have this discussion and see how it goes. I thank you for being here, as always, and we'll see you again soon, all right?
All right.
To be continued, and we'll be right back.
Welcome to Story County, where history meets innovation and a pioneering spirit continues to shape our future. At the heart of the Tahoe-Reno Industrial Center, we power the future with global leaders in technology and manufacturing, driving progress that reaches far beyond our county lines. From advanced manufacturing to tech innovation, our industries are creating thousands of quality careers, fueling a vibrant economy that benefits every Nevadan. Our community is our foundation. Be part of a legacy built on bold ideas and boundless possibilities. Story County, helping build Nevada's future.
Imagine a magical garden that feeds Carson City's hungry and homeless, teaches our high school students agriculture, creates hanging floral displays to beautify downtown, and yet charges nothing. It's not magic. It's the Greenhouse Project. It's real, it's growing, and it needs your help. Go online to carsoncitygreenhouse.org so together we can grow it forward.
Check out our archives section on NevadaNewsmakers.com. Great interviews going back as far as 2002. Really worth watching. We'll see you on the next one.